everyone. It's your host, Polly Siegel. And for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, certified addiction specialist, and master level trained mindfulness practitioner. I own a counseling practice in both Colorado and Illinois, and I specialize in trauma, OCD, and anxiety. If you live in either of those two states, feel free to reach out to me for a consultation and we can begin the therapeutic journey together. Now on to the good shit. Welcome to season 3 of Shit Talking Shrinks. Gosh, I'm so excited. I will be featuring experts in the healing space, and we're discussing a variety of mental health topics, the human experience, and society at large, while creating levity along the way. Get ready to laugh, learn a lot, and change your life for good. Hello, everyone. Another important and fabulous episode on Shit Talking Shrinks. I have an awesome guest, and I've really been looking forward to this conversation because of my own journey with health and specifically my tummy, which has given me a lot of grief throughout my entire life. So, to not tease people any further, today I have Crystal Felice. She's a pharmacist and a certified functional medicine practitioner and really helps people feel more energized, focused, and empowered in their body. And today we are talking about the stomach, leaky gut, microbiome, the stomach brain connection, which I think is, you know, really a hot topic and has gotten more light as of recently. Okay, I'm rambling. Hi, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I love it. Yeah, that's what happens when I get jazzed about a topic. I'm just like, la, 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 la,
la. Yes, the same, especially the gut. It's something that's so pronounced. It's something that everybody needs to address, and not many people realize what can stem from it. So super important to talk about it and just get the info out there.
Yeah. Okay. So for anyone who's like, what does the gut have anything to do with the brain? Like, those are two separate organs. Can you help bridge sort of the connection between the mind and the gut?
Yeah, there actually is a gut-brain connection. Like, that's what it's called. And people are finding more and more mood disorders just linked to gut health. They're even finding certain bacteria that are triggering Alzheimer's. Like, all of this information is coming out. It's so fascinating to me. And I love that the gut's getting a little more news time, because so many people are kind of put that emphasis on, you know, if they're talking about it in the news, oh, then it must be like really important. So I'm thankful that it's getting out there. But when, you know, we have these issues with our gut, they can cause a lot of nutrient deficiencies. And a lot of that is going to stem for our mood. So a big one is that a loss of B vitamins and magnesium, and we're, you know, getting the information out there that we need that for our serotonin. And we make 90% of our serotonin in our gut. So it's super important to make sure that that gut is really being taken care of as much as we can, and to kind of be on top of what we're putting in our bodies and making sure that, you know, we're taking good care of it.
Wait, so 90% of our receptors for serotonin are in our gut?
We are processing it in our gut. Yeah.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Yeah, we need to be really nice to our gut bugs. So they're putting in the work down there. So, and we're finding a lot of people that are on antidepressants for a long time, that they're actually getting the gut issues from that, because our body can only pump out so much for so long. So it's really getting depleted, because we need specifically B vitamins, especially to make serotonin. And then we need serotonin to make melatonin. So then you get people having sleep issues as well. So it all kind of, you know, cascades down. You got to find that root cause. And that's what functional medicine is really all about, kind of getting down to that root cause. What is causing all of this stuff to happen?
Well, and I also, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I was also told that a lot of our immune system is also housed in our gut.
Yes, about 70 to 80% they're finding. So that is another huge one. And really, anytime we're on antibiotics, which is pretty much everybody's been on one, they're finding that it can take some people up to a year to really repopulate and get that gut back, even just being on, you know, a 7 to 10 day antibiotic. So it's really important to kind of look into it and have people realize that their symptoms may be stemming from dysbiosis in their gut.
Well, no wonder my gut has been fucked for so many years, because as a kid, I had chronic ear infections. And I was put on antibiotics over and over and over. And in the 90s, it was like antibiotics were given out like candy. It was like, you get an antibiotic, you get an antibiotic.
Seriously.
Man, I've had stomach issues my whole life. Now, part of that is also genetic. I come from a family history of GI issues, but I think probably just overuse of antibiotics certainly made it worse.
Unfortunately, you can't pick and choose. So it's going to come in there and it's going to wipe it all out. Then your gut's like, I have nothing to work with down here. So you have to really work on repopulating and making what's left happy.
Well, and so now, you know, as listeners are synthesizing this, like their serotonin is being produced in their gut, their immune system, the ability to fight off infection and stay healthy is in the gut. So like these major processes and ability to thrive and be well is housed in this region that I think, you know, a lot of people just are like, my stomach, it's tough. It can handle it.
Right. And a lot of people might not want to talk about it. They're like, yeah, I'm constipated all the time or I have diarrhea. But like some people just don't want to talk about that stuff. And honestly, I wish more people would because, you know, that is definitely a symptom. You know, you're not supposed to be. People think even just, you know, pooping once a day is enough. And honestly, it's not. Like we need to be more regular. So 2 to 3 times a day is pretty regular.
Yeah, but who shits 2 to 3 times a day?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. We need that fiber. Yes, no, it's super important, especially because I also help women with hormones and estrogen. Our excess estrogen is released from pooping. So if people are constipated, there's actually bacteria that can take that inactive estrogen, reactivate it and reabsorb it. And then they're just getting all of these overload of estrogen symptoms and are like, what the heck's going on? And then if you're not pooping, then we got problems. You know, sweating is another great detox. There's a lot of people that don't sweat. And I'm like, we need to work on that because sweating is super important.
Here's my vulnerable share. I only poop once per day, maybe twice if I'm lucky. And I've shit my pants many times in my lifetime. So here we are.
Yes.
Like, I wish I was kidding, Crystal, but I'm not. You're like, you need to see me. Pronto. You need to work with me pronto.
These are the conversations.
Yeah, these are the fun conversations about poop. And okay, so setting aside the fact that, you know, now everyone knows that I've had way too many accidents. What is leaky gut? What is an imbalanced microbiome? Like, what do these terms mean? Because everyone's reading about it or hearing about it, but like, we don't actually know what that means.
It may also appear as something called enhanced intestinal permeability. So that's like what the science term is. But leaky gut, pretty much. So when our gut's working great, we have this nice tight barrier that selectively will absorb things and it will be tight enough that everything else can move its way out. But with leaky gut, those cells start to pull away from each other a little bit and they'll leave little gaps in between the cell walls. So these gaps can allow undigested food, bacteria, any other toxins getting into places where they don't belong. So that's pretty much overall what leaky gut is. And these things that can get reabsorbed, they can trigger immune responses. We see a lot of autoimmune conditions coming out of it. They can just promote all of over inflammation. It can lead to some more chronic disease. And people will notice something's up if like, suddenly they just become intolerant of foods that they ate all the time, like dairy, eggs, soy. And they're just like, out of nowhere, like, I can't eat beef anymore. I can't eat eggs. Like, I break out in a rash, or I just feel like crap, or, you know, I just have this random rash that pops up. So little things like that will really be some of my triggers that I'll look for in clients. They'll just be like, I have these achy joints out of nowhere. Like, I've never had this before. And all of these particles, you know, will get in and the body isn't supposed to see them. Like they're supposed to stay in our gut. So the body's just shooting out all of these things it can to help fight whatever this is. Cause it's like, I don't know what this is. So it'll just send all of this. So then the body just becomes, you know, completely inflamed. So that's why we can get all of these other symptoms that might not be related to the gut. People will think, okay, you know, I poop fine. I don't have diarrhea. Diarrhea, constipation, and bloating are just one part of it. You know, it's been linked to people with allergies, asthma, like the autoimmune conditions, 70% of that immune system is in there. Migraines and headaches are another big one. That's another way of your body kind of giving you an alarm, like something's going on. And a lot more people need to take a headache as a gift. I know it's a horrible way to think about it, but it means something is going on. You know, instead of just throwing ibuprofen at it, or it's time for people to really get more in tune with their body and be like, why do I have migraines all the time? Like, that's not normal. So a lot of things can really start from the gut. So this leaky gut condition is a lot more common than people think, especially if you've been on antibiotics or you've had food poisoning, then there's a great chance that something's going on.
I had food poisoning recently. Well, I've had food poisoning like many times in my life, but it's no joke. I know that seems like a stupid thing to say, but like, man, it rocks you for like weeks after.
Yeah, it takes so much to come back from. And then your body is just like needs crazy support after it. And people, you know, just get better and they're like, okay, that's cool. But, you know, especially with antibiotics too, we need to start supporting even while you're on the antibiotic, helping the gut as much as possible so that you can bounce back faster after these episodes. Especially E. coli and Salmonella, they're kind of notorious for releasing this protein called zonulin. And that's what's going to contribute to those gaps widening. Just having those infections as well can contribute besides all of the other things that we can get into too.
This is an interesting episode for me because I relate to everything you're saying so intensely that all I want to do is just share all of my personal experience, but that then detracts from being able to give the powerful information. But I got E. coli when I was in China. And it's interesting that you mention that it leads to, what was the protein that's released from it?
Zonulin?
Yeah. Well, I felt like after that episode, my stomach issues had gotten significantly worse. And so it's sort of, you know, the math is mathing right now as you say that, as I'm like, oh, okay, I got E. coli in 2000, probably 10. Anyways, it was a cascade of just lots of things. But anyways, I want to go back to what you said because I want to make sure I'm synthesizing this correctly and listeners are as well. So leaky gut is when the lining of your gut becomes more loose, which then different bacteria and viruses then leak throughout systemically your body, which then can cause inflammation, can cause autoimmune issues, can cause just general yuck for the body. Whereas the gut is supposed to be very tight so that nothing can leave the system. Is that correct?
Right. And when these things, so the next line of transportation after our gut wall is our liver. So sometimes people will start to see liver enzymes on their labs kind of going up. They're like, what's going on? And when we have medications being processed through the liver, we have estrogen being processed through the liver, alcohol, all of that takes a toll. You know, a lot of people are like, we have a liver, we don't have to worry about detox. And it's like, we have a liver, but we got to support that liver too. You know, we can't just put all of this on one organ and being like, you got this. So it's really important too, because now that's going to get through the gut wall and the liver is going to have to start to deal with it. And if we're just constantly slamming our liver with all of these toxins, it's going to really bog down the body. It's going to cause more inflammation. It's going to cause imbalanced hormones. Our body actually releases cholesterol to help with inflammation. So some people can see increased cholesterol levels. So for me personally, this is how I got into functional medicine, was because of my hormones were a disaster and my gut was a disaster. I was on birth control for 20 years. I came off of it and it was just like, it was all hell broke loose. And my cholesterol was going up and I was eating healthy at the time. I was exercising. I'm like, how is my cholesterol increasing? Like, there's no way. Because only about 20% of your cholesterol is from what you're eating. So that means it's, you know, it's coming from somewhere else. And sure enough, inflammation, like my body is just trying to help. So it's another thing to look at. You know, I look at people's labs in a different lens. You know, I look at it like, okay, you're not in this optimal range. You might be in this big normal range that all of America is in, but for your body to be super optimal, it really needs to be like in this kind of range. That's kind of what I look at. And that's what was happening with me. Like, my body was releasing cholesterol. I had estrogen all over the place. And I was, you know, nutrient deficient in so many things. I was getting anxiety like crazy. I had depressive episodes and I was like, what is happening? Sure enough, you know, I got tested and had the leaky gut and it was just a mess.
And a lot of people that have tummy issues or, you know, mood instability, this is an opportunity to go, I should look into this. You know, can I find a functional medicine doc that's going to be able to do some of the more unconventional tests or look at it through a different lens to see what's going on to provide a different options for treatment? You know, I know you sort of sprinkled in what are some of the symptoms of leaky gut, but I want to circle back to that. What are the telltale signs that there's probably issues going on in that region? Other than like, okay, I'm constipated, I have diarrhea, like those are easy to tell.
Bloating, you know, some people might get it, but my bloating was, I was legit looking like 6 months pregnant after meals and it was hard. Like my stomach was hard. So it could be like intense bloating like that, but just even things like the migraines, the anxiety, food sensitivities or intolerances, especially if they come on kind of out of nowhere, like you always used to eat those foods, then that will trigger it. Brain fog, chronic fatigue or other ones, you know, definitely from either a dysbiosis, like bacterial overgrowth going on down there, or just things getting into the body and your body's just trying to process it and it's causing fatigue because your body's working in there. So acne, eczema, psoriasis has been linked to it. Immune issues, since we did say the immune system is based down there. So people that just have chronic allergies, asthma, especially in younger kids, they're finding that too. If you've had asthma like your whole life, they're really linking that to the gut. Those who that have IBS and Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, and like difficulty losing weight can be another thing since the hormones are definitely getting messed up and there's that inflammation going on. It can be linked to several things. So it's definitely, it could be a combination of things, but definitely if you develop some sort of food allergy of like your favorite food and your skin starts randomly breaking out all the time and you just find yourself getting sick often, your joints are aching, then it's time to start thinking like something's going on.
Well, and it's interesting. So through my journey, I ended up eliminating dairy and gluten and I don't consume that anymore. And that made worlds difference because I was also looking 9 months pregnant after meals. And like you said, my stomach was hard as a rock and just the cramping. Oh, the cramping was like unbearable after meals. And I would say, you know, removing those two food groups has definitely made a difference, but I still think I have gut issues. I probably, at the end of this episode, I'll tell a really funny story that's like super embarrassing, but also hilarious. So I'm leaving a cliffhanger for us to get to the end. But yeah, I mean, everything you described, so many people report that to me, like anecdotally in my clinical practice, and I am not a doctor, will be like, I have brain fog. I'm getting chronic headaches. I'm so tired all the time. I'm bloated. I keep getting adult acne. Like everything you just described, I hear that constantly.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. And removing the gluten and the dairy is awesome. So gluten is another thing that zonulin is released from. So that is definitely a trigger. You know, when we're doing these gut protocols, it becomes kind of necessary to eliminate those things. Because if you're kind of, you know, doing the whole trying to heal the gut and you're still pounding it with these things that are very inflammatory, it's just going to be like, how am I supposed to get better if you're doing this to me? So it definitely becomes part of the gut healing. So, you know, if people have tried different supplements and stuff and they're like, I'm still having issues, you know, it could be that, you know, you need to remove those also. And it becomes kind of a step-by-step process because you want to remove anything that's being inflammatory. And that might even include, say your trigger is like beef or something. It may include removing that too. You need to be in touch with your body, see what your triggers are, and then you'd remove that and then start repairing the gut. And then, you know, eventually you can, some people can bring that stuff back in. I still leave dairy out because it's just, you know, not many people have the enzyme to break dairy down. It becomes inflammatory to many people and a lot of people just deal with it. They may think, oh, it doesn't bother me, but you know, deep down there could be some inflammation still going on and causing some issues.
I want to take a quick pause to talk about our sponsor, a company called BetterHelp. It's an online therapy platform where all the therapists are licensed and accredited professionals. It's affordable. You pay a low flat fee for therapy with your therapist, and it's convenient. Do it at your own time and at your own pace, and you can communicate with your therapist as much as you want and whenever you feel is needed. And more importantly, it's effective. Thousands of people have benefited from therapy using BetterHelp, and we're really grateful to offer all of our listeners 10% off your first month. So if you're interested in receiving therapy ASAP, click the link in our show notes and you can get started. And you get to save money. So I think that's a good segue. Walk us through what foods are inflammatory to the gut.
Definitely going to be dairy products. Gluten products can, and people, you know, are, a lot of people are like tired of saying, oh, it's gluten. And it's because these grains and stuff are severely processed nowadays. So they're like, oh, you know, this never used to be a problem back in the day. And that's because things weren't as crazy processed as they are now. Breads used to be naturally fermented, like sourdough, but now sourdough is really the only one like hanging on. The actual fermentation process was able to dissolve a lot of that gluten and break that down and help the body naturally just digest it a little bit better. Dairy, definitely more than 75% of people have a dairy sensitivity. They might not know it. They may be in denial, but that is definitely something. And then things like corn, soy, eggs and egg whites for many people can be doing some damage. Things that are just highly processed also, ones that use these industrial seed oils. So you'll see like canola oil and sunflower oil, safflower oil, these highly processed, you know, high fructose corn syrup finally got into the news and then people were starting to remove that. But that's not the only thing that's kind of wrecking the gut. And you know, they're starting to link some of the alternative sugars, like sucralose is one that's in a lot of things so that things can be touted as zero sugar. But it kind of requires people looking at ingredients more than just worrying about calories all day and really caring about what is in these products that you're putting into your body, because they're able to slip a lot of things in there. And sugar can have like 15 different names. So sugar can be really inflammatory to the gut. So that's another thing, like very highly processed refined sugars. So, you know, people can put some honey in their tea and stuff. And that's fine. But you know, I'm talking about if people are just eating cakes and cookies and stuff. Those are being made with horrible quality added sugars. Those are things that really should be very minimal in the diet in order to help keep the inflammation down.
And everything you're saying is research-based, but I want to bring like the emotional side. It's very hard for people to hear all this shit they can't eat. There's that psychological piece of like, the buy-in. And for me, I was like, I'm never going to give up gluten. And I love dairy and I love sugar. And I still eat a lot of sugar, but I eliminated the other two. And I think the only motivation to do it is that when you start to feel better, right? There's the like, okay, like it's worth it in the end. Like my body is thanking me. My body is honoring me. But what do you do when people feel like the grief of not wanting to give up these things that are causing them harm?
Yeah, for a lot of people, I can go really slow. So I get some clients that are just like, let's go. I want to feel better. I'm tired of feeling like crap. They at least give me a couple weeks. And within a couple weeks, they're starting to have some symptoms start relieving. I'm like, you just got to hang on. And unfortunately, like this is a marathon, not a sprint when it comes to healing it. People really need to be dedicated at least like 6 weeks of a protocol, could be longer, depending on how much damage there is. But, you know, some people, I just have to start slow and be like, you know, what's one thing you're willing to kind of go without? If you know that something's triggering you, like, how about we take it out of your diet for 2 weeks and just see how you feel? So, you know, we start with that and we could just start with like one thing. So, you know, gluten is a tough one. For some people, dairy isn't as tough. So they're like, okay, I'll try the dairy and they'll go 2 weeks without it. You know, a lot of times I'll just start working on some more rapid relief, some adding in some multivitamins, some like specific targeted supplements that might help start to work on the gut a little bit. Just also in how they're eating, you know, a lot of people eat in a super stressed state. They're not chewing things right. Really, our digestion starts in the mouth. So the whole act of chewing gets the gut and digestive enzymes going. We need stomach acid. We need those enzymes going. And we need the saliva. So saliva is going to be the first one that's going to start breaking things down. And if we're not chewing enough, all those downstream processes aren't going to happen as well. So especially stuff like protein and meat, that needs to be chewed up really well, like to a gross amount. that I know many people don't, but it's really tough on the stomach because now the stomach has to work on the rest. And then, you know, that's going to just sit in the stomach. And that's where people get that like, ugh, feeling, because the body has to work super hard now to break all that down. And then it gets into the digestive system, you know, then it's these particles are getting in there that aren't broken down fully. And if you do have leaky gut, that's what's going to make its way back into the system and the body's going to start attacking it. So even just working on what we call eating hygiene is a great start. So say somebody's like, I don't want to stop anything. We'll start there. Be like, okay, so when you go to eat and you sit down, make sure you're in a relaxed state. Sometimes I'll work on repairing the stomach acid, because as we get older, everyone has heartburn, I feel like. As a pharmacist, the amount of PPIs and stuff I was dispensing was just astronomical. This is a medication that people are supposed to be on for 14 days. And if they have problems, they should see their doctor. But since it's over the counter, people think that there's nothing wrong with it. Unfortunately, we do need that stomach acid and it decreases as we get older. So I have some people do like a little home test with baking soda just to see if they can produce a burp after. And if not, there's a good chance that the stomach acid is pretty low. And if we've ever been stressed out, anything like we all will have low stomach acid because it's just not our body's priority. If you're in fight or flight, if you're always stressed out, digestion takes a back seat. You know, same when people have fertility issues, that's going to take a back seat. So working on stress, working on eating habits, sleep, those are really the things that I'll tackle before doing anything else. I don't even start with these functional labs because they're expensive. A lot of times I could see people's symptoms and completely link it to what's going on. So there are a lot of lifestyle things that can really start moving the needle, and we work on that as well. So a lot of times we don't even have to start with any elimination. It's all in how motivated you really are to start feeling better.
I'm so glad you said that, because for the people that are like not ready to eliminate, there's still things you can be doing that are going to help with your gut health.
Say you have food poisoning or something, you want that stomach acid to help fight off that bacteria. So in that case, if we have low stomach acid, we don't have anything that's kind of helping to make sure that that stuff doesn't get into the gut. You know, I've had clients where we do a GI test and there's a bacteria in there that's only supposed to be in the mouth. So for that guy to make it all the way to the colon means that there's a messed up barrier somewhere. A lot of times it winds up being low stomach acid because there's not enough in there. You know, people that have been on these chronic acid reducers, they're causing a lot of downstream issues from them.
What are, you know, with our remaining 5 minutes, what are some of the functional tests that people can, if they are motivated and they do have the financial means, they could check out?
The main one I go with is a GI map. That one is going to, you know, it's not the greatest. You have to like poop in a cup and it's not the most fun to do. But you get so much information from it. So that's going to cover everything from pathogenic ones to if your good bacteria is really low, if you have inflammation going on, if there's any sensitivity to gluten. So that one kind of runs the gamut and gives a really good idea if there's any kind of overgrowth and where to start.
And I know that there's some, is it IgG that tests like food sensitivities? Is that accurate?
Yeah. So there are food sensitivity tests. I'm not a big fan of them because a lot of times if there's leaky gut, your body's going to react to just about everything. So the best food sensitivity test, honestly, is an elimination one. So just doing it naturally on your own, just eliminating things a little bit at a time, I think is the best way to go. The food sensitivity is pricey for not being super, you know, good to kind of pinpoint things with.
I don't know if this is coming to mind, but a girlfriend of mine did one of the food sensitivity tests and it said that lobster was a trigger. And she's like, I've never even had lobster before. Like she had never tasted lobster. We all were like, is that accurate?
Yeah. And sometimes it can be linked to something else too. Like I had like pomegranates on mine and I'm like, I couldn't remember the last time I had a pomegranate. So yeah, I feel like it's kind of hit or miss with those. So I don't usually use them too often.
Anything else, if people are wanting to look into this, wanting to take this more seriously, where do people start?
I think looking for a functional doctor is going to be the way to go moving forward. A lot of us are virtual, so you can really get that going anywhere from home. I see all of my clients virtually. So that's going to be the best way, is to get somebody that's going to kind of be on your side. If you really have a great primary care doctor that's really willing to put in the work, that's awesome. A lot of them can't order these functional labs and they aren't trained on reading them either. So that's where you kind of can get the issues, where people need to kind of seek out somebody else.
Yeah. And I think something that you had said earlier before we started recording is it's really easy to read a bunch of things online and be like, great, I'm just going to start all these protocols. But you're not working with someone who's trained and you're not informed or educated or trained yourself. And so you're really just like shooting in the dark. And so I think it's really important to emphasize like working with someone who does this day in and day out and can have a fresh set of eyes that know what to look for, not just like crossing your fingers and hoping it will make a difference.
Exactly. Yeah. I've had a lot of people come to me after DIYing their health for years. They're just like, help.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Okay. So anything else you can think of that you want to leave listeners with before I tell my hilarious story that I think is funny?
Just to really be more in tune with their body, start thinking about what they're putting in their body, start thinking about their gut health and how they can really start improving it. You know, seek out that help if you're having these issues, because there's no reason to suffer at all. There is help out there and there's relief. And, you know, you just have to really be an advocate for your own health, because the doctors out there just don't have time, unfortunately. So I always try to teach people the empowerment to just get out there and get that help.
All right. So you ready for the story?
I am so ready.
So about a month ago, I went to a funeral. So obviously it was like a heavy day, you know, and people are grieving and I'm, you know, certainly sad by the loss. Point of the story is I get in the car. We go to lunch after the funeral. I don't eat anything out of the ordinary, you know, nothing that I would think would trigger me. We're in the car in New York City and we're driving. It's my mom, my dad, and my mom's best friend. So I know them well, but not like super well, you know, like I've seen him a few times at gatherings, whatever. So we're in the car and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to shit my pants. And it came on like super fast and super strong. And we're in the car on the highway in New York City, trying to get to the airport after a funeral. And I say to my mom's friend who's driving, I'm like, Abe, you got to pull over, man. And he's like, I can't pull over, Paulina. Like, we're on the highway. And I'm like, get off at the next exit. I'm not fucking around here. Like, I'm going to have explosive diarrhea in your car. So he pulls off. We get off at the Harlem exit.
Oh my God.
And I shit under a bridge. Like, right, you know, like, I'm full, seen by every single person. I am squatting underneath a bridge, explosive diarrhea. That's what you guys all get to, you know, think about as you end this episode.
I'm glad we could all laugh about it.
Yeah. So if you're having episodes where you can't hold your bowel movements, please go see Crystal ASAP. Oh. Anyways, thank you for laughing at my stupidity. On that note, if this was helpful, please go ahead and share it. I think there are so many people that are struggling with their gut and just general health, and functional medicine is still like unknown and in some ways taboo. And so I think if you've tried the westernized, just traditional primary care physician, GI doc, like go see a different route. Take on these functional medicine tests. See if there's more information that you can get that will make a real difference. On that note, we'll catch everyone later.